Why don't you open your Bibles to Romans chapter... Woo! Help me, Father. Romans chapter 14. Anybody say righteousness? Peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. We were talking on these things Friday night about God giving us the kingdom and us experiencing kingdom life and full salvation and full grace. Amen. That God wants us all to be blessed. Amen. And have the right kind of life. And how does God bring that life to us? On Friday night, we talked about righteousness. And righteousness, the premise that we brought came about with righteousness is that God knows exactly who you are right now. Not who you should be. Not who everybody else tells you you should be. But exactly who you are. He knows exactly where you are spiritually. And he knows the truth. And there are no spiritual hoops. If you have accepted Christ in your life, and God is Lord of your life, you are the righteousness in Christ Jesus. And that's a character that God loves. Know who you are in God. And know what God thinks about you. And once you find out who you are and all your habits, all your frailties, all the blows that life's dealt you that gave you, some of us have some weird thinking sometime. Amen? And even in all those things that we have to work through, when we can find out that God understands all those things and he cares about us right now, he loves us right now, and he wants to bless us right now, and he wants to relate to us. Somebody say relate to us right now. He wants to be in relationship with you in a big way right now. He's not trying to get you all prepped up and made up and perfected so that he can relate to you. He wants to have a relationship with you right now. And his wanting to know you, no matter who you are, no matter where you are, his wanting to know you, his wanting to love you, his wanting to care about you, guess what that is? Righteousness. Righteousness is all based at what God thinks about you, period. I used to hear statements like, it's not what you know, it's really who you know. Well, in the kingdom of God, whether we like it or not, do you know what? It's the same way. It's not what you know. It's not what you know, and it's sometimes not even what you've done or what you can do. It's who you know. You are invited to a party because you're favored and because God loves you and you belong there, and that's what the whole thing is based on. God's love and his not wanting to get rid of you, and you know, his wanting to hold you. And if God loves you, guess what? We can call it, and if you believe that God loves you, God cares about you, and he wants to relate to you right now. Right? Is anybody can pray to God? Can anybody pray to God and believe that he hears your prayers? Well, that's a relationship, right? That's a relationship. Well, if you can get to God to talk to God, amen, if he's going to make you some greasy spot, he would have done you when you prayed the first time. He doesn't have to wait until the judgment day to greasy spot you, right? He could do it right now. Well, listen, if you believe that God wants to know you more intimately, how many know that God wants you to be more spiritual? Why? So you could be an angel and fly around the room? No, so that he would be able to communicate with you. Paul said that I might know Christ and the power of his resurrection. So all this stuff, all this church stuff, all the tongues, all this big deal, everything that we do, all the worship, you having to listen to me 2 and 3 times a week, all this stuff, it's all made up to accomplish one thing, to get you to know your God more intimately. And when you can believe that no matter God, there's nothing more important on the mind of God right now than to get to know you better. I used to say this. Anybody ever seen the movie Fatal Attraction with Glenn Close? That woman was nuts, wasn't she? She was in hot pursuit of Michael Douglas, wasn't she? The Bible says that surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. Well, it's not a fatal attraction, but that's a favor. that God's mercy, his compassion, and his grace and his love is in hot pursuit of you right now. God wants to know you more intimately. He wants to reveal himself to you. He wants to show you some things, teach you some things. And if you can believe that, if you can believe that, that there is a God and that God wants to know you, amen, he wants to know you more than you want to know him. He wants to hook up with you. There are a lot of people that can't stand us. Amen. Some wives and husbands get to the point in their relationship when the wife tells the husband, you don't ever want to talk to me. You don't ever want to be with me. All you want to do is watch the, all you do want to do is watch the TV. All you want to do is do this. You just forsake me. I'm so lonely. Well, if you'd realize that there's always somebody trying to get in your face, and that person is trying to get in your face, it's God. And if you can believe that there's nothing more that he wants to do than to know you, to care about you, and to relate to you, guess what that belief turns into? Righteousness. Righteousness. The belief that God wants to love you, know you, care about you, walk with you, take care of you. Amen. The belief in that fact. Amen. When you believe that and start to live your life according to that, guess what? That is righteousness. Doesn't have anything to do, well, doesn't have anything, well, after I get, work this out of me and speak in tongues a little bit longer, I'll be the righteousness that God wants me to be. No, he wants to know you who for who you are and what you are. He wants to know you because of who he is, not because of what you should be and what you could be. He loves you just as much today as he will tomorrow. While we were yet sinners, Christ loved us. When will we ever get there? Because we'll always be changing into the image of God. When will we ever get there and say, well, surely I'll get to the point to where he'll finally be able to say, man, that's my child. Parents, you get in dysfunctional families and different things, and always in dysfunctional families and dysfunctional situations, it's always based on this fact. Someone believes that someone doesn't love them and doesn't care about them. My mother never loved me. My father never loved me. Therefore, my whole life has been screwed up and been messed up all my days. My family's messed up because they were never able to believe that nobody cared about them. There are lots of screwed up, and I use the word messed up, twisted, maybe in that fashion, twisted spiritual mentalities. People that can't get a prayer through. People can't move in faith. People can't live in faith. People can't receive all the best that they have for God. Why? Because they don't know what their God thinks and believes about them. And we want to correct that. Really look at somebody and say, I'm a character. And those of you that can tell the truth, tell somebody. If I could really tell you the truth, I'm a trip. And people try to get up there and try to act like they're little angels with wings on their back. You know, you can be honest about this. You look at somebody and say, I am a trip. I didn't swoop down from heaven this morning. I didn't come off a touch by an angel. You know, I'm not going to start glowing 15 minutes from now. Maybe. But if I do, it's not because I'm an angel. But people need to realize that that you can be a trip but yet be righteous. Amen. You can be completely messed up in certain areas of your life and still be the righteousness in Christ Jesus. Am I saying you don't have to be holy? Yes! You got to be holy. Yeah, you got to live right. Is I'm saying you'll always be messed up? No. But I'm telling you, it has nothing to do with your righteousness. The Bible says, faithful is he who begun a good work in you, and he will complete it. And you need to have your confidence in God's love and desire, his passion towards you to finish this thing off with you. It's not basing this Christian walk, your salvation, in your own efforts and your own ability to hang on. I tell you what, we give out. You will have no peace in your life until you get a revelation of the righteousness. The righteousness that comes through Christ Jesus. Get a revelation of your righteousness inside your inward man, inside your spirit, and allow that to renew your mind that you might be able to be righteous toward others. So when you hear me talk about this righteousness, don't go around and be doing everything wrong and everybody else will say, I'm right. I'm righteous. I'm the righteousness of Christ Jesus. That means everything I do is right. No, it's wrong. This righteousness that we're talking about, doesn't matter what you do, God is always going to love you. That's not going to change. Am I preaching once saved, always saved? Absolutely not. I am a Wesleyan Arminian holiness sanctification person. If you blow it, he's going to love you as you're blowing it, and you will still suffer the consequences of your actions. And while you're suffering the consequences of your things, boy, I love him. Did it to himself. So righteousness, peace. Many people are basing their righteousness on the illusion of what spiritual giant they'll be 5 years from now. And they base their righteousness and expect to receive righteousness from good intentions. Well, you know what I want to be in the future. Well, that person that you want to be in the future can't receive from God right now. The only individual that can receive from God right now is the person and the thing that you are right now. And that's all you have to deal with. The only righteousness that you have to work with is the character that you are right now. When you relate to God with who you are, all of what you are right now. Every habit, every hang-up, all of your weaknesses. Don't ever run from God, but run to God. And you find out people that express righteousness. Look at all the things some of these people. Look at David. How was David able to live the life he did? Because he always related to God with who he was. He never had a mask on. He never faked anything. You know, when he was messed up, he would sing a song as a messed up person, and God dealt with that messed up person right where he was. You're going to have to live the same way and walk in that righteousness that God wants you to walk in. So righteousness. Then we have peace. Somebody say peace. Say peace. Say it one more time. Once you get a revelation of this righteousness, God will allow you to start to experience peace. Whenever someone wants to demoralize someone, to break their spirit, to keep them in a rut, to abuse a person, they will work against their psyche. They will work against who they think they are. That's where abuse begins, and that's where the devil gets into people. When you ever met people that were abused or all kind of verbal abuse and emotional abuse, what they try to do to allow that person to become unstable is they don't allow that person to have a proper self-image of themselves. Tell that person, you can't do anything. You'll never become anything. You'll never have anything. Nobody wants you. If you weren't with me, you ever met, you know, people do abuse each other in relationships. If it weren't for me, you wouldn't have nobody. Where would you be without me? You're lucky I'm still hanging on to you. You need me. I don't know how long I can put up with you much longer. Well, many people have the same concept of God. Yeah, we'd be messed up if it weren't for God, but God's never throwing that in your face. We'd be a greasy spot without God. We'd be dust in the wind without God. But God's beyond that. God's beyond that. And you can see the works of the devil when the devil comes in and how the devil ministers, how the devil works with people and works over people. Guilt, condemnation, and bondage. What's the difference between conviction and condemnation? Everybody say conviction. When you got the Holy Ghost, if it's the real Holy Ghost, he will convict you of sin. And if you're not being convicted of sin, you really need to pray in the Holy Ghost. Because you got a lying spirit. If you got some spirits telling you everything's great, everything's okay, just wait for Jesus to come. If he show up, we got it together. If he shows up right now, we got it all, it's okay. You're in trouble. That's not the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is there to convict us of sin. But not to condemn us. Conviction will tell you when something's wrong and that you can make your way out of it. Condemnation will show you something wrong, amen, but close the door and say, hey, you'll never get out of this. I'm from Washington, D.C. area, and there was one time when they just decided to refurbish the whole city. So what they did is they went through the town, and they condemned a lot of buildings. And when they condemned these buildings, they boarded them up shut. So no one could go in. No one could use that building. It was going to be torn down. It was no longer good for anything. There are a lot of people that are under condemnation this morning. And in many areas of their life, they're all boarded up and they don't think that God would ever love them, that they're not good for anything, they could never be used for anything. God condemns nothing. Amen. God can fix anything and everything. God didn't want to shut you up and destroy you. God said, I've come that you might have life and have life more abundantly. The devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. God doesn't want to tear down your house. He wants to come in and fix some things. That's what God is there to do for you. God will look at a building that the devil condemned and say, hey, I like that. I want to move in right there. I'm here to let you know you got a hope. You've got a future. God's looking at a building. But God said, that's a place that I can do something with, and I like that place. I'm not doing the place a favor, amen. I'm just going to go there, and I'm going to abide there. I want to be there. That's where I want. And the realtor goes, surely you don't want to be there. Sure you don't want this house. Surely you don't want to live in that place. There's a house on the other side of town. It looks much better. Why would you want to live here? But we have got to believe that he wants to live there. Not to show off for anybody else, not to play any tricks, not to play any games. That's what he desires. Look at someone and say, I'm the building that he desires. And when you believe that he desires to live in that building, in no matter what condition, what shape, that belief and that confidence is righteousness. Will you let him come in this morning? Will you let him come in this morning? Once you can receive, somebody say receive, the tenant. That's why righteousness comes first. Once you can receive him, then you will be able to experience the peace that he brings. And so often we are trying to give people, especially here at Nathan's Church, people peace and people prosperity when they've never received righteousness. They can't figure out why it doesn't work. I'm a condemned building. What do I need paint for? I'm to be destroyed. Before you tear this house down, let me put some wood floors down. Let me paint it, then you can destroy it. Whenever someone's looking to destroy something, they don't want to do anything with it. And you realize that God's got a future for you, you will allow him to start to do the necessary repairs. And the necessary repairs are peace. Somebody say peace. Notice that it says, listen, when you go out and preach in a certain area, if they receive you into their home with grace, if they receive, everybody say receive. If they receive, let your what abide there? Peace abide there. When you can receive God, when you can receive Christ, when you can receive his power, his ability, amen, his love, his compassion in your house. And I mean in your house, not the house you should be. When I'm talking about your house, I'm talking your house. Somebody say, God is in the house. Every one of your secrets, every one of your details, every one of your shortcomings in the house. Many times people got these houses, they just let you go as far as the living room. Everything else is shut off. As far as you get is the front door. When you can receive God in your house, he will not reject you. He will accept you, love you, and change you in every area. Only the areas that you allow God to get involved with are the areas that he has the ability to change. When you allow him in the house, then you will be able to experience this supernatural thing called peace. So say peace. Peace. So many times we're trying to work out stuff so we can receive God. Doesn't work that way. Receive him and then it can be worked out. Lord, I want to go on, but Luke chapter 2, verse 14. We're about to go into a season of supernatural peace where God's ready to manifest the peace that only he can bring on those that can believe. I mean, we're trying to get you to the point in your faith where you can start to receive this peace and start to operate in this peace. Listen, Luke chapter 2, verse 14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth what? Peace. And what? Goodwill toward men. Everybody say goodwill toward men. Say it one more time. Goodwill toward man. God has been trying to tell us in this house several times, I can do much more than this. Something good, something just right is going to happen to you. Will you let it happen to you? Don't limit God's ability. We have to realize the kind of God that we have. For the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. That's who our God is. You have a good God that can only do wondrous, good, and great things. Any place that receives God receives peace. The earth received Christ, so the earth received peace. When you receive Christ, you will receive peace. And if you're not experiencing peace, it's because there's some areas in your life where you have not received the anointing. or Christ. Say goodwill toward men. I want you to know I got a word of prophecy for you this morning. And I want to speak it to those that can receive. No matter where you are, God wants to do you good. God wants to do you good. Goodwill toward men. But it's beyond what you can receive in your own natural mind. That's why God's giving you some spiritual revelations how you can receive the goodness of God. You receive the goodness of some people. And what, you know, what the economy can do, what the government can provide, amen. What unions, human unions can do. But we have yet to experience the good that only God can bring. God's got a good thing that only he can do. Amen. Somebody say, goodwill toward man. Amen. That goodwill means kindness, a wish, or a purpose. A desire and a good pleasure. How many believe in willpower? How many believe in successful people? They say one characteristic of successful people is a strong will. Willpower is like faith. Anybody, how many of you know Brother Copeland? Amen. Envision things. He envisions something. He will stick to it until that thing manifests, right? He will see it through. Amen. I'm going to get it. I'm going to get it. That was his will. Somebody say the will. That was his good pleasure. Amen. He had willpower in order. How many believe nobody's got a stronger will than God? And no one has greater faith than God. And don't you think God can do a better job than Brother Copeland? Do you think he's more determined than the best track runner you know? Amen. The Bible says that God's got a purpose and he's got a will and he's determined. And he's using your faith to do you. He's using his faith to do you good. Amen. People don't realize that God's got an agenda and he's got a plan. For I know the plans that I have concerning you. It's all over the Bible. But we're so used to believing what the devil says about God, what the devil says about everybody else, instead of hearing the heart of God. God's here to tell you, listen, peace on earth, goodwill toward man. Peace brings prosperity. If you're going to look up that word in the Bible, the first word that say, how can we measure this word? And we always leave something out. We always just think quietness and sweet symphony music or a funeral home. We think, well, they'll finally have peace. There'll be peace in the valley for me someday. And they're laying up there dead. Yeah, someday. Well, you got to get a different mentality of what peace is. In fact, the only day you'll see peace when we have a casket laying here with little lights on the side of it and everybody's singing sweet songs and the music's real low, you've missed it. That's not the peace that he's basically talking about. Amen. When you're just resting in the ground someplace, the maggots don't give you peace in the ground. Some people that are burning in hell, they don't have no peace in the ground. They ain't going to bring you no peace. Amen. They just look peaceful. Amen. The ride they had 3 days getting ready to lay in that casket wasn't peaceful. Amen. The way some of these morticians drive them hearses. I had a cousin that flew out a hearse at a funeral. That wasn't no peace. The way some of these funeral services are held. Amen. Relatives fighting over the money and all this other stuff right there. And we're up here singing peace in the valley. Somebody said, that's not going to bring you peace. You're going to let the devil lie to you. People think, well, at death, they'll be at peace. Rest in peace. Well, you didn't live in peace. You're not going to rest in peace. Amen. That's not peace. Only Jesus can bring peace. Allow the devil to kill them. They live a whole life. It's all right. I'll just struggle here. In a little while, it'll be all over. No, brother, it'll be just beginning. Amen. Peace. Peace. The first word for peace means prosperity. You will not experience the peace of God until you experience the prosperity of God. Period. I found that out. I'm a pastor of a church, and there are several areas of my life I don't have any peace concerning this ministry. And guess what the reason is? Prosperity. You're going to have peace. When you going to quote a scripture to the bill collectors? The peace of God. I'm not worried about a thing. I'm going to have a prison ministry. People try to tell people, well, God's going to tell you how to hold the peace just to keep your mouth shut while your life's just going down the drain. And that's the peace of God. He'll give you peace that causes you not to understand why the devil's kicking your behind. He'll give you peace that passes all understanding. And we thought that peace comes, you know, anything could be wrong in your life. And as long as you're calm and cool and collective about it, it's all right. Amen. That's not the peace of God. You should have. You should be calm and not fearful and not afraid when things happen and confident. But don't you call that stuff peace. Amen. Peace comes when you believe God and you walk in his righteousness long enough to where your relationship with God starts to have your life. because you know who you are and you're walking confidently in God, that peace just automatically starts to happen. What happens? Favor starts to follow you, and because your mind starts to believe what the inside knows. All of a sudden, peace starts to manifest. Tell somebody, peace manifests. Peace will manifest in your wallet. Peace will manifest in your job because you know who you are. My boss is wearing me out. Them girls on my job, I can't even go to work. Man, I can't sit at the lunch table. Anybody had that? Just no peace on my job. Pray for me, somebody. No peace on my job. Get a revelation of who you are in Christ Jesus and walk in that anointing. It'll bring some peace there. You start walking and it'll change the situation. Somebody say, peace changes some things. Somebody got sleeping under a bridge someplace. You better put Jesus in their life. He'll get them out from under the bridge. And out from under the bridge will give that person some peace. Instead of giving them a pillow and tell them to lay right there for a little bit. Feel the peace of Jesus. Peace, peace, wonderful peace. You got your family's all messed up and here you talk about peace. Give me a break. You better get a peace of Jesus and he comes in and changes some things. Jesus didn't come down singing songs and left people where they were. Saw the paralytic man by the pool of Bethesda. Don't trouble yourself to get in the water. Have peace. Just rest there. In a little while, it'll be all over. You better have a peace of healing because I believe Jesus can do it. Amen. You got to realize that peace will come when you get out of debt. You can have the joy of God while you walk in there, but you'll experience a higher level of peace when you get out of debt. And Jesus says you can get out of debt. Peace will come. Somebody say, and Jesus can bring that. See, people don't have any confidence in who they are in God and their righteousness in Christ Jesus. That God loves them enough to have them live a peaceful life. You got to believe in that God's ability to bring peace, that when he comes on the inside, that this relationship that you have with him will bring you peace that other people don't have. Say, I want some of that peace. He said, my peace I give to you is not as the world gives. Thank God for that. You know, the world's peace is that kind of peace that we were talking about. Rest in peace. Just deal with it. Keep your mouth shut. Let's just have peace in here. Let's just have some peace in here. My mama would say that in our house sometime. Sister would go through my room, go through all my stuff. And we'd be fighting about it and fussing about it. She said, all right, we're not going to have any. I want some peace in this house. Well, ain't no peace. My stuff gone out of my room. Somebody say amen. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. You got to learn what the peace of Jesus can. Peace on earth, goodwill toward man. You operate in the spirit of God and you tell the devil no when he's trying to mess your life up. And guess what will happen? The end result of that. Say, hey, I'm a child of the king. I don't need to have this mess anymore. Hey, amen. Get dissatisfied with say, there's something going to change right away. God wants me blessed, period. And you start to walk in that anointing and sooner or later, peace will come. So you say, peace. I'm going to back it up. Look at somebody say, Brother Rob, I'm so glad you're preaching this stuff, amen, because I've heard the other stuff before. Haven't y'all heard it before? Oh, just have the peace of Jesus. Nothing changes. So say, praise God. So say, I want some real peace. Real peace. Look, Mark chapter 4, verse 35. The same day, 4:35, and the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over to the other side. And when they had went away, the multitude that they took him, even as he was in the ship, and they were also with him other ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Now, many people say, oh, he was sleeping on the sheep. He was in peace. No, he was asleep. He was asleep. I mean, peace means he owned everything. You know, he was in peace. He had everything. Amen. Amen. But he was just asleep. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace. Somebody say, peace. Be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceeding and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the waves obey him? He told it to shut up. He didn't speak to them and tell them to have peace. What did he speak to? I heard a dummy tell to other people, He told us to, oh, just be peaceful. Somebody say, oh, he needed to speak to them to have peace. No, they were drowning. Amen. When he talked to the wind and the waves, they calmed down. Don't you let anybody lie to you. Jesus has the ability to talk to winds and waves. Glory to God. Don't think you don't have any faith because you got winds and waves out there and you're concerned about some winds and the waves. He rebuked them because they were too dumb to realize they had the ability to talk to the winds and the waves. That's what we were getting rebuked about. They weren't rebuked because they didn't, you know, they were saying something. They were rebuked because they didn't do anything about it. If you're concerned about situations and problems and circumstance and all these other things, you bring it to attention, you're not going to be rebuked because you understand that something's not right. The rebuke was you should have spoke to it and done something about it. And Jesus spoke to the winds and the waves and he said, peace be still, because that was the will of God. And what did the wind do? And the waves stopped. You can speak to it all. You can have peace on earth. If Jesus said peace on earth, there can be peace on earth. So you expect to be heaven on earth? No, he said peace on earth, period. You just back it up. Amen. You expect things to be just like heaven. That's when you get over to heaven. On the earth, we will have trouble until Jesus shows up. But I speak peace to you on earth right now. Some of you never get to see the sweet by and by unless you get a little bit of peace on earth. People are strung out and wigged out and doing all kind of mess and don't even come to God because they have no peace on earth. Notice that Jesus came, and with the gospel of salvation, he came and healed the sick, raised the dead. He preached the gospel. You know, he got people around to the point to where they could really hear the gospel. Why do you think Jesus gave these graces and gave us gifts and all these abilities? He wants us to get people to get a peaceful life to where they can, you know, to where they can really experience God. So we're tired of trying to preach to people, husband just beat them up, and then we expect them to come in here and clap and dance and sing. They wonder about when they go home and their light's going to be on. Come on, just worship him. Hallelujah. Now you come to prayer. Don't miss prayer tomorrow night. Come to prayer. You know, you're back there hungry, you know, stomach growling because you're hungry. Amen. And you expect to get into all these good things. We get all mad because y'all not hearing all the things we're saying. Didn't you hear what I'm saying? Glory to God. What's wrong with you? I'm hungry. Even Jesus fed the 5,000. He said, we can't send the people away hungry. We want to feed the gospel to a whole nation. Don't do anything about their ills or anything about their problems. Jesus can handle them both. Amen. And usually he'll do the other one first. He said, look, come away with me and I'll make you fishers of men. He paid every bill. He pulled money out of the fish's mouth so his disciples could pay their taxes. Glory to God. You can serve God in peace, and that's his desire. We so used to preaching the gospel and serve God in spite of all the mess in your life. Notice that he got them out of Egypt so they could worship him, period. That's right. God wants to bring you out of all of your problems, whether you like it or not, amen, that you might be able, really able to praise him and worship him. I thank God you're doing it right, everything's messed up. Glory to God. So I said, what is this man talking about? Getting these people's hopes up all high. Yeah, you better have an expectation. It'll get much better when things are taken care of. One more example of this peace. Mark chapter 5, verse 21. You, right where you are, who you are, can have peace. Mark chapter 5, verse 21. And when Jesus was passed over again by the ship on the other side, much people gathered unto him and was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there came one of the rulers of the synagogues, and Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My daughter lies at her point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all she had, and was nothing but better, but rather grew worse. And when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press and pressed behind and touched his garment, for she said, if I may but touch his garment, I may be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the plague. And Jesus immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the presence, and said, who touched my clothes? Right? You remember this? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the throng about thee, seeing thou, then you say, who's going to touch me? And he touched, and he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing that what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, thy faith hath made thee what? Whole. Now, somebody say, now, go in peace. Be whole of thy plague. Because she was whole of her plague, he told her, now go in peace. Now you can have peace. Look, be whole of thy plague, go in peace. So many times we tell people, go with your peace, have peace with your plague. That's the gospel many of us preach. Now you better have peace with your plague. Someone said, you better, it's your bed laying it, have peace with it. He delivered her and set her free from that thing and said, now go in peace. Say, I don't have to have peace with my problem. He can set you free from your problem and tell you to go in peace. You can exchange your problem for peace. Yeah, I'm talking about this morning. I don't want you to have peace with your problem. I had many people mad at me, get depressed. And we started preaching against depression. Remember, people got mad. We started preaching against manic depression. Say, God doesn't want you depressed. I don't care what you say. God doesn't want you depressed. I just had a peace with my pills. I got a peace about this depression. I don't care. You can have peace whatever you want to, but God doesn't want you depressed, period. He can give you peace without depression. Somebody say amen. I don't want you to have a peace with your problem. Any of it. Anything the devil's given you, anything that didn't come from God, don't you have a peace about it. Hate it and get out of it. Something wrong, got to make it right. Amen. Bill's not paid. I don't have a peace about it. Glory to God. I'm going to speak in faith. Then I'm going to go in peace. What do you tell you to pray for? See, that's why people don't walk in faith anymore. We're just so used to tolerating things and dealing with things. No, honey, we're going to pray through until this thing gone. Somebody say, this thing going to change. Amen. Then you're going to have some peace. You're going to be able to worship. I'm tired of seeing you come to church all worn out, beat up and distressed and torn up. And that's always the prayer issue. No, we're going to work this thing out in Jesus' name. We tried tap dancing with bills. Amen. I want to tap dance without some. Somebody say praise God. He's able. Because you are righteous and because you know God, he can give you peace without problems. Somebody say prosperity. You got to learn peace is the shalom of God. Somebody say my peace, I don't give it like the world gives it. I give it. What are you talking about, preacher? Every issue that any one of those individuals in the Bible had, God was working trying to get him out of it. Everyone, David's stuff, God was working to get him out of it. Amen. Children of Israel, working to get him out of it, working to get it out of it. Every problem, he was always working toward to get them out of the problem as he was knowing them. I only got this much more to go, and it's just some scriptures. But once I get it done, you can have peace about this sermon. But I won't have any peace until I get it all to you. Somebody say peace. That word means prosperity. And it also means a little bit of quiet, a little bit of rest. You can just tell when you don't have peace, you can't sleep at night. Luke chapter 4, verse 35. Before you go there, put your finger there and go to Romans chapter 10, verse 15. Is what I'm talking about, this peace that I'm talking about, good news? Say, I'm hearing it. I want to see if it works or not. You will. Somebody say, this is good news. How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them. Somebody say, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. This is a gospel of peace. This is good news that God wants to do you good on the earth, peace on earth. When somebody starts to argue with you that believes you need to be suffering until you die, you take them back to that very scripture. Say, listen, I'm sorry. I want peace right here on earth. Somebody say, peace on earth. You ain't got no problems in heaven. He already dealt with that. Somebody said, you need your peace on earth. Now, the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings. Somebody say, glad tidings. Glad. Of what kind of things? Good. 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 Everybody say, good. Things. You should come to church and hear about good things. Even people know, good Lord. Amen. Tidings of good things. Something good, something great's going to happen to you. Let it happen to you. Tidings, prophetic words of good things about to come. God's about to do you good, period. I'm here believing God for it. God's about to do something great for you. To the level of your faith, let it be manifested unto you, period. He can do much more than you could ever imagine. I'm talking about godly goodness. Seen it happen again and again. Why not let him do it? Amen. Now, as you got that part right here, Luke chapter 4, verse 35. And Jesus rebuked him, who? The devil, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And see, that's just the best that they could come up with when they were writing the King James Bible. Yeah. And when you look at that word in the Greek, to hold thy peace, it means put a muzzle on it. That's what the word means. He looked at the devil and told him to put a muzzle on it. I'm tired of hearing your mouth. Didn't I shut you up? Whenever the devil's running his mouth, you're going to have trouble. Look at the garden. Wherever the devil is running his mouth, wherever you can hear anything from the negative side, somebody say anything from the problem, somebody say pray, you need to tell the devil to shut up. God wants you to serve him, to love him, to care about him, amen, and he wants the devil to shut up in your life. I'm tired of hearing from the devil on a weekly basis. You know, you can't you just have a good week without having them show up? Can't you just enjoy Jesus and go to church and shout and raise your hand without any problem? Somebody say, shut up, devil, in the name of Jesus. Jesus spoke to him and said, listen, hold thy peace. And that's the best thing they could come up with that, amen? Because when the devil shuts up, there will be some peace. Somebody say, rebuke the devil. And hold thy peace means to muzzle it. See, Jesus knew that he had the ability to do that. He told the sea to shut up. He told the wind to shut up. And he told the devil to shut up. And so they say, muzzle it. That's some authority. That's some authority. That's some authority. That's some power there, isn't it? My. How many got some situations in your life right now? No, I'm serious. How many got some things now? How many got some stuff happening that may trouble you a little bit? And it's not God. Ain't no angels calling you up on the phone. Angels aren't possessing your relatives and doing all this stuff. Somebody say amen. It's the devil. Amen. I'm telling you, by the anointing of the Holy Ghost, when stuff happens, if you don't know this stuff, you'll allow it to happen a little bit longer than what it needs to. But there's an anointing from the Holy Ghost, and you got an authority from God. He will work it out. And as he's working it out, you can tell the devil to shut up. Say, so shut up while you're working it out. You got some situations. There's some situations in some of your life. It might be a process of time before things get together and get together and come in line where God needs it to happen. But on the way, he can shut up. So he rebuked him. He said, hold thy peace and come out of him. And the devil had thrown him in the midst, and he came out and did what? Hurt him not. So say, the devil going to get out of my life. In every area of my life. And he ain't going to slap me on the way out the door. Some people are afraid to mess with the devil. They're afraid he's going to get mad at them. I met people like that. Oh, you don't want to start nothing there. I had some dummies in here one time. Amen. We were talking about the devil. I said, oh, we're not afraid of the devil. They came here to church. You better be careful. The devil will hear you. Y'all remember that? The devil will hear you. Shh. Don't pray like that. The devil will hear you. You don't want to start nothing. Have to pray in the closet, in your prayer closet, or the devil will hear you. He hear you talking to God. It's all over. Now, you can't catch this revelation in your mind. You can't catch this revelation in your mind. It's a spiritual thing. Amen. For the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. The last scripture I want to give to you is Romans chapter 8, verse 6. We learned a lot today. Glory to God. We got righteousness now, didn't we? And we hit a little bit of peace. I mean, people are going to think, oh, he's just going to get a bunch of old, what kind of Christians are these people going to be around here?
don't think they do anything wrong, think that God loves them. You can't put them in condemnation anymore and expect good stuff. People get mad at problems. They start speaking to problems. Shut up. Let it happen. That's just life. No, that's death. Know who you are in Christ. Jesus said, God loves me. God loves me. And I'm going to speak to every one of my problems. Be gone. For it to be carnally minded. Somebody say, be carnally. Minded is what? Is death. But to be spiritually minded. See, if you take your problems spiritually, is life and what? Wow. To be carnally minded is death. See, carnal minded people can't get this. Only Holy Ghost people. So, amen, you can't grab a hold of this revelation. I'm talking about to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded, that means spiritually minded, related to God. That righteousness. God wants to know me, and I want to know him, and that's what it's all about. That lifestyle. Somebody say, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things. Somebody say, all these things, this peace, all this other stuff will be added unto you. Be added unto you. To be carnally minded, seeking the things out of the world, amen, is death. But to be spiritually minded, and to be spiritually minded is to be minded of your righteousness in Christ Jesus, and that relationship is life and what? Peace. Life and peace. You get that on the inside of your spirit. Maybe tonight, unless the Holy Ghost will do otherwise, all we're going to talk about tonight is the two things that we think that we talked about Friday night, righteousness. Thing that we talked about this morning, peace. And tonight, it's the easy part, joy in the Holy Ghost. Now, with those two things on your side, ain't nothing left to do but get drunk in God and enjoy yourself. Somebody say, it's a party. And then you just celebrate it. Somebody say, amen. Say, that's how you manifest it. Amen. When you get the revelation of those things, that's how you live. Amen. So now that I do, now I don't have any problems. Many people are living to solve problems. Somebody, I can't close my eyes in death until I see my children saved. You're going to live to have the joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Peace took care of all your problems, and you're living to enjoy God. Somebody say, amen. Say, I live to enjoy God. Why don't you stand up? Somebody say, living to enjoy God. Thank you, Jesus. Tell somebody, say, hold on, I've taken a ride before. Say, at the beginning of every, how many taking those rides? We need to start taking snapshots. We are going to do it. We're going to buy cameras, and I'm going to snapshot everybody's picture, and we're going to take a before and after. Somebody say, amen. 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 You haven't seen what I've seen people, they look different. I mean, they look so much better after every season, after every word. Somebody say, this is going to be a good ride. So say, you ain't seen nothing yet. I'm going to let God work me over. Hallelujah. But God's going to fix every condemned building in Jesus' name. The boards are coming off. The light's going to shine in. He's going to paint the walls, put on a couple extra rooms. Somebody say, amen. God's about to work you over and do you good. And all you got to do is let him. Amen. Let something good happen to you. And don't limit it. He's going to take the lease on the house. Glory to God. He's going to buy it and let him do whatever he wants to do. Somebody say, work me over. Somebody say, I'm the righteousness in Christ Jesus. I'm the righteous. Greater is he that is in me. Is he in you? No, is he in you? Is he in you? See, when you get a revelation of righteousness, you can maybe say that. Greater is he that is in me. God is in me. Some say, things are going to be all right because God is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. Some say, I got power to make a difference. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah. Now just laugh about it for 3 seconds. You can go home.